Next speaker, Richard Foster. Where is he gone? Oh, there he is. Now, Richard, if you read his biography on there, has so many things, so many jobs that I don't even want to try to say what he's doing right now. I think you're teaching, is that right? But I'm sure he will tell you yourself. Richard, thanks, over to you.
Thanks, Jeroen. Yes, just to fill you in on where I'm at the moment, I lecture in business and management. I also pastor a church in the, the southern suburbs. Anyway, they're down that way somewhere. And I have a few other things that I need to do, like look after six kids and a couple of grandchildren and whatever. But what I want to share with you this morning is something about the notion of shepherds in the marketplace or people in the marketplace needing shepherds. And just to put it in context for me, a number of years ago, I was a pastor of church in the western suburbs, and I went to Argentina to participate in a conference being organized by Ed Silvoso, who some of you will know. And as part of that, we traveled with various business people and pastors, and we went around preaching and seeing people getting healed and all that sort of stuff, really exciting stuff. And as we traveled on a bus into a town called Rosario, which is in the middle of Argentina, once a prosperous city, now not so. And as we travel along in a fairly good conditions, and we'd all had a fair amount of money spent in order to get there, we're living in quite good circumstances, we're in hotels and all the rest of it, we came around a bend in the road and came across what we would describe as a slum. And the impact of that was profound. I read in the morning a passage from Matthew chapter 9, and it didn't really mean anything to me until that moment. And let me just share that passage with you, if I may. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." And what struck me is that here I was doing similar things, if you like, going around from village to village, town to town, preaching the gospel. And suddenly I was struck with people. And the passage says, stop and see the people and have compassion on them, for they're like sheep without a shepherd. And, you know, as a pastor at the time, I found it very easy to get involved in the agenda of the church, to get involved in the next project, the next evangelistic campaign, the next program that we were committed to. All good and proper things. But sometimes I wasn't conscious of stopping and seeing the people. I could look beyond the people at the next thing, the next agenda, the next town to go to, the next preaching opportunity, the next teaching ministry. But I wasn't seeing the people. Sometime later, I attended a breakfast with a business leader from China. And he spoke about the church in the marketplace. And that in China, because there are no denominations, there are no buildings, if you want to have a church, it would be the church at Motorola or the church at Mary Kay or wherever Christians met together was the church, and that took the name of the business that they were in. It's a fantastic idea. And we've heard Jim does the same sorts of things, and Jeroen's doing the similar things. And, you know, the church in the marketplace. And I queried that. God said to me, the things that I spoke to you about when you were a pastor, I was then working in the marketplace, I want you to take it in the marketplace. That you are to stop and to see the people. It's not about the bottom line. It's not about the profit. It's not about the customers. It's not about the suppliers. It's about all of those things, but it's seeing those people as people who are in need of a shepherd. So I believe that when Jesus saw the people, he used a reference that was familiar to the Jewish people. Way back when Moses was about to go into the promised land, as he thought, God came to him and said, "Moses, you're not going." Now, he'd told him that before, but I think Moses was hoping that God had changed his mind. I get like that too sometimes. But God said, "You're not going." And although Moses tried to change his mind, God was insistent. And he said, "No, you're not going." So Moses cried out to God and said, "God, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They're lost. They don't know where to go, how to go out, how to come in. You need to provide a shepherd." And God said, There's look at Joshua, a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He's the man that will lead them. Later on in Jewish history, King Ahab formed an alliance with the King Jehoshaphat to fight a battle. And they called upon the only righteous prophet around at the time, a guy named Micaiah. And Micaiah prophesied that he saw the nations like sheep without a shepherd, lost, didn't know where to go, everyone rushing to their own home. They needed a shepherd. And I believe that as God looks upon your marketplace and upon mine today, he's saying, I see sheep without a shepherd. I see people who need others to teach them how to go out and how to come in, how to do the things that are necessary to do. And he doesn't just look at the marketplace as the place of business as we sometimes look at it. You know, when I left Argentina, whenever it was, I came back with a conviction that God was telling me that I'm no longer called to pastor the congregation, but to pastor the community. And that was a bit novel, and not every church can handle that, and I wasn't in that church for much longer after that. But since then, I've had the privilege of probably conducting weddings for four or five of my near neighbours. I've tragically, on the other hand, conducted funerals for some of my near neighbours as well. But my wife and I have both been involved in providing ministry and pastoral counsel to the neighbours in the community in which we live and beyond that. I conducted a wedding recently in which I married a young lady who was one of a t-ball team that I coached to coach when they were in year five. There were seven girls there who were seven girls that I coached, not Christian girls, but girls who were members of the community who are still in and out of our home. That God has called us to pastor the community, that part of the marketplace in which he has placed us. I now lecture. I have 100 students. And sometimes God wakes me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not overly happy about that, but he does. But it gives me the opportunity at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray for each of those students. I've been blessed with a reasonably good memory, so I can remember their names. And I can pray for every one of those students. And it's amazing how opportunities come where you can share. You know, it's not, I don't have the right to start preaching to people when I'm working for another employer. All I can do is share with them the love of Jesus in the best way that I can and extend that to my co-lecturers and co-laborers. But in the place that you are in, God has given you sheep. You are their pastor. You know, I'm a preacher, so you have to excuse me because I tend to preach. You know, but you are called to shepherd the marketplace of which you're a part. If you're a father, well, that's easy, isn't it? Your first flock of sheep is your family. And that's your first responsibility. But we go beyond that to our workplace, to our customers, to our suppliers. Are we praying for our customers? Are we praying for our suppliers? Are we genuinely pastorally concerned for them? I want to refer quickly, if I may, to... and Jerome's going to wave at me when I've had spoken too long. Have I? Good on you. Thanks, Jerome. Ezekiel 34 gives a description of what shepherds should not be like. In a sense, if we look at it the other way around, it's a code of practice for us as shepherds. You see, the role of shepherd in the Old Testament was a role of governance. You know, the king was the shepherd. And that role is found in Jesus, isn't it, today? We understand that. But in the Old Testament, the shepherd was a role, was a figure of authority, not just of pastoral care. And many of you are in business places where you have authority. You have that kingly role or the role of governance within your workplace. And it's a pastoral role. And in Ezekiel 34, God had some harsh things to say about the shepherds. And he said this, "You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, and the lost you have not sought. With force and harshness you have ruled them." As a code of practice for those of us not only in the pastoral circumstance of the church, but in the role of governance within the workforce. We have a responsibility to rule with equity and fairness. We have a responsibility to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted, to look for those who are lost, to bring back those who have not yet been found. Not all of the sheep are yet in the fold. Some of them are still wandering around on the hillsides. God is sending you and I out into those hillsides to bring the sheep into the fold. Now, the fold for you might be the congregational church. It might be the place that Jim has in his place in the marketplace, or where your own has. It may be some other fold. It may be a group of bikies or a group of surfies or a group of whoever. But God has given folds for you to bring those sheep into. But we are to go out into the mountains and to the hillsides. When Micah prophesied to King Ahab, he said, "I see the sheep scattered on the mountains, each one going to his own place because they have no shepherds." Well, they have shepherds. That's you and it's me. And we're called to go out and to shepherd the people that God has brought to us. That's not everybody, but it's those that he's brought to you and to me. It's your family, it's your community, but it's your workplace. So I want to encourage you today, as you think about the place in which you work, the place, particularly those who are under your authority, if there are those, that you see them as shepherds see their sheep, as people who are in need of pastoring, who are needing caring, to heal them, not to live off the riches of the land while those that work for you struggle. You know, I've worked in organizations which are owned by Christians, and I've seen workers who barely subsist with the income they receive whilst the owners of the business are living in the lap of luxury. Now, what we heard from Dushan earlier, you know, it's God, 2,100 times in the scripture, God talks about the poor. 2,100 times. If we don't think God is concerned about the poor, then we're not reading the same Bible. God is really interested in the poor and those who struggle. And if we, as leaders and rulers in our organizations, are living in luxury and yet we're allowing our employees to struggle, to barely subsist, to work in very difficult circumstances while we have our nice air-conditioned offices, I'm not sure that we're all reading from the same script. You know, we have a responsibility, don't we, to be shepherds of the sheep, to love them, to care for them, to feed them, to nurture them, to bring them back. And let me say, I'm still a pastor in a church, and the thing I struggle with the most is that as a pastor, it's really easy to get caught up with the agenda. It's really easy to be corporate planning. It's really easy to do the business of the church. And sometimes it's not so easy to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal the sick, to feed the poor, to look for those who've gone astray and bring back those who are lost. And what I need to do in the pulpit ministry, I also need to do as a lecturer, and dare I say it, you need to do it in the places of ministry and work that you are presently in. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much. That's I guess you can notice the difference between a preacher and somebody at the business place who is trying to say a few things. No, that's very good.